Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio! Brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better! I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, silliness, derp, and other hugely intelligent conversations, huge, at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, Jack!
Yay!
It is so damn early.
I don't even want to talk about it.
We're time traveling again.
Oh, no. We got this thing up to 88.
Oh, God. So we've got a bunch of trips coming up, and Jack's taking a brief sabbatical to go sell fine leather goods and accessories. Wait,
no matter what way you say what that job is, it doesn't sound good.
I think it's an amazing job.
I love
job.
The gig. I love it.
So I kind of want to come hang out with you for a couple weeks. So you're gonna be at Gen Con, right?
Yeah, I'll be at Gen Con in Indiana. I need to
come up and
For some reason a listener of the show wants to find me, I'm at the Crimson Chain leather booth. You'll know who I am.
Oh my God. Well, Crimson Chain now owes me money. So anyway, hey Jack, guess what?
What's that, John?
This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 night vision goggle to the IR Patrol thermal monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander off. I don't think his home life is that good. I mean, he's all Pokemon Go.
That's what he's doing.
That's what it is. Well, TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark, including Pokemon. TNVC, now, with financing. Own or finance the night.
I'm not going to lie. I went out the other night to play Pokemon and brought my PVS-14 with me. Because it says to be, you know, aware at all times. I'm like, oh, I got you, fam. Boop.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Did you see the report of the dudes that were in the park? Playing at like 3 or 4 in the morning, a guy came up to rob him, and one of the Pokemon Go dudes shot him.
Glock uses shoot is super effective.
Jeez. Anyway, we got a good show with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics upcoming. And by upcoming, I mean right now. So let's get Caleb on.
Right,
Caleb,
yeah.
How's it going, man?
Hey guys, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
We are alive.
We are alive. It's even earlier where you're at because there's like backwards time travel in other parts. I don't know, dude. This thing confuses me. I mean, I'm not that educated. This whole thing and time zones and whatever weirds me out.
Yeah, the whole idea of like the world turning and this whole rotating around this giant orange ball. Trippy, man. Real heady stuff.
Dude, the Earth is flat. That's
what I've been reading. Yeah, I mean, it says so on YouTube, so, I mean, we got that going for us.
I just killed Jack. Jack's dying.
I'm dead. I'm done.
Anyway, I'm sorry. So the nice thing about us recording a show is that not only is it early, but we're sillier now, which is good. But for those that haven't heard your past appearances on the show, Caleb, can you tell a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm the owner and director of training for Lone Star Medics. Lone Star Medics is a field and tactical medical training company. I guess my background, I've been a medic for about 15 years or so and involved with field or tactical medicine. Started off in the Army, did 4 years as a combat medic over in Europe, and then came back to the States for a little bit. Got on with the fire department, spent about 6 years on the fire department, riding the ambulance, the engine company, and also with the SWAT team as a medic. And then about 7 years ago, I went down to paramedic school and ended up coming back as an instructor for some various, American Heart and some other folks. And here we are 7 years later, man, teaching all over the U.S. and able to come on the kick-ass shows like you guys.
Well, I appreciate the vote of confidence. Hopefully much butt will be kicked today. That joke fell flat. I'm sorry. But I guess the first thing I want to talk about is, and we were talking a little bit about this before the show, but there's been a lot of very high-profile incidents lately where, you know, we've got Orlando, we've got Dallas, we've got Baton Rouge, we've got all sorts of other incidents as well that were smaller scale, but still just as tragic. And one of the things that, one of the conversations I've been having a lot lately is about, you know, the need for medical gear, why medical gear is important and things like that. And there's been like this weird pushback where people are either, well, I can improvise stuff with my shoelace and a stick of gum to stop this massive hemorrhage. Or the other one that's been interesting is, well, you guys are just trying to capitalize on the bad things in the world that are happening. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, and you can start in whatever order you want.
Sure, sure. It's, as far as the improvised stuff, I put it like this, and especially for the listeners, because I think the demographic listening will put it in context, will understand this context. I want folks to think of their medical training and their medical gear just like they do their defensive firearm. Nobody goes to the store, buys their defensive pistol, and brings it home or starts carrying it around as you bought it at the store or wherever you got it, your dealer, from carrying around the plastic box that it came with the ammo separate, with the magazines empty, you know, and think, okay, well, when the time, you know, comes that I need to use this tool, defend myself, I'll put it all together, build the stuff, and then I'll be able to win. Right. Or the worst case scenario is, or, you know, oh, I don't carry a firearm because when the fight happens, I'll just pick up a brick or a rock or something, and I'll improvise using a tool to save my life. Well, then, we all agree that, hey, that's just really bad planning, and that's not reality. Same thing with medical. So first off, yeah, we've got to have the education and the training, the know-how, how to use those tools effectively and efficiently. And then, two, we've got to carry them on us. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, guys, please think of your tourniquets and your chest seals and your hemostatic agents just like you do your defensive firearm. You know, top that bad boy off, get around in the chamber and, you know, carry it with you wherever you go. It doesn't do you any good if it's in your vehicle. We hear that all the time. All of us say, well, we've got all my med gears in the vehicle. Well, if you're in the back of the supermarket and something happens, now you've got to fight your way, pun intended, literally all the way to your med gear while you're trying not to bleed out.
Right.
That isn't doing any good. So improvised stuff. Plus, it's 2016, man. We've got over a dozen wars or dozen years of warfare on two different fronts. I guess if you want to look at it like a positive thing of war, is the lessons learned.
Right.
And those lessons learned have come at great expense. So, hey, why is it 2016 and we're still thinking we're going to improvise these things or still using subpar equipment or mindset? Tourniquets do work. Carry one. It's $30, $40, somewhere around there. So don't go to Starbucks for a few days. You'll be able to afford it, and, you know, it's a tool you're probably going to use within the next 12 months.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, and then we'll get to the other point of the original question. But if we're looking at, like, likelihood of use, I would strongly argue, and I'm not telling anyone not to carry a firearm. I carry a firearm every day of my life to the point where I just choose not to go places I can't carry one because I think that it's important. That having been said, if we're looking at likelihood of use, the chances that you need to use medical equipment inside of your lifetime, way higher than you're going to need a gun in your lifetime. And it seems like a lot of people don't think about that. We got about 40 seconds left in this segment, and then we'll expand on that more. But, I mean, do you agree?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've got the scientific data from the CDC that says, hey, number one killer in America, heart-related disease. And if you break that down, it basically means heart attack. Okay, well, there's some things we can train to, you know, or, you know, change those statistics. You know, we got to take better care of ourselves and stuff, you know. But then also there's some hereditary things we can't. But if we take a CPR, simple CPR class on how to use an AED, hey, we can solve some of those problems. Number two and three killer in America, almost tied. They're cancer and blunt trauma. And if we break down those numbers from CDC, from what I've understood it as, basically automobile accidents.
Right. Hold that thought because we've got to go to break.
Sure.
Right now we're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry gun shouldn't have to be either. Sig Sauer gives you choices. With more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a Sig Sauer that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, to the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022, Sig Sauer makes a model that's right for you! Just don't ask for Callahan full-bore auto lock. Or name it Vera, because it doesn't exist. They don't make that yet. 6 hour. When it counts. So we're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. Now, before the break, Caleb, you were talking about leading causes of death, and you had said that blunt force trauma and cancer were pretty much tied for the number two and number three spot, and that breaks down in automobile accidents?
Correct. I mean, the CDC is wonderful at gathering a lot of data, and sometimes it's hard for me to even try to figure out, okay, well, what are they talking about here? Because you just kind of get lost in a YouTube search almost, with all the information and data. But looking at their statistics, and they get really, really detailed, so I'm trying to, in an overall general impression of it, if you will, or interpretation.
Yeah.
But even cancer and blunt trauma come nowhere near heart-related disease.
Right.
I mean, those numbers are still drastically lower. But like you said, doesn't mean that. Hey, doesn't mean I'm going to stop carrying my firearm.
Right.
No, I'm with you. I know. I don't go to places that don't allow it or minimize those, and I always have it with me because I know the training you've taken with some other instructors, and we've taken them the same instructors. We learned that hey, the realities of those fights. They happen quick, they're violent, and the good or bad, they're over very quickly.
Yes.
Now that can either because you won or lost, but it's not like in the movies. I know the pun, you know,
yeah.
Throw
yeah.
it that way. So there still is a need for our defensive firearms and defensive training, though. Absolutely.
Well, and it's more of, I guess, it's interesting to me where, you know, because recently I posted a link on my Facebook page to a tourniquet. I'm playing around with using the Amazon affiliate program, and it was like, hey, this is a good bit of kit that I think is important to have and I can get behind, so let's see that. And I posted my thoughts on, you know, why I personally preferred the one that I picked. But it was interesting the number of people that were like, well, you don't need a tourniquet. And it's like, what? And one of the arguments was, well, they don't get used in civilian defensive shootings. And I'm like, well, one, the reason they don't get used in civilian defensive shootings is because no one's carrying one.
No one's carrying them, exactly.
Yeah. Two, civilian defensive shootings are not the be-all, end-all of reasons you
That's
might
not
need
what
a
we're
tourniquet.
Carrying them. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly, yeah.
So,
no, it's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading and following through there a little bit the other day, too. And
I'm sorry for tagging you in it. It got stupid real quick.
I know. Hey, I do the same thing. I'm like, okay, I'm done talking to these people. I'm gonna call up the dogs and let them, my buddies, and have them. you know, I need some backup here. I'm tired. But, you know, it's just like what you said, man. It's, you know, just because we're not talking about just using this tourniquet for gunshot wounds. You know, and I really try to teach my students. I say, guys, yes, the gear's good, but don't, you know, like in our training classes, we don't teach to the tools. I want to teach students on why we're, you know, identify and then treat it. Treat their patient, not their equipment.
Right.
And that's an old school EMS saying, you know, well, the heart monitor says this, but yes, the patient's talking to us. So who are you going to believe?
Right.
You know, pay attention to your patient. But, you know, I mean, a mentor of mine, Carl Wren, you know Carl.
Yeah.
Teaching KR training. He's, you know.
We're actually teaching a class out there in December. Melody Lauer and I are. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And he's, and if you know Carl and his background, the guy, I don't know how many people, how many trainers he's trained under and
a
how
lot.
Many classes he's taken over 30 years. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And he said, and he told the students while we were sitting there, I was teaching, and he said, guys, over 30 years of all the defensive mindset and tactics and shooting type classes I've taken, thank God I've never had to use those.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to situations where it came close. You know, more mindset got me out of the trouble. But he said, I've used Caleb's training and their medical training far more times than I have any of the other stuff.
Right.
Short of like mindset, you know, be preventive and like what Tom Givens teaches us and stuff, you know, like don't get in a gunfight.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, you know, it's, we're looking at stats. Yes, you're not. And again, it's not just treating gunshot wounds. I think an American College of Surgeons or somebody just came out with another article saying tourniquets are a good thing. And we've got car wrecks. I mean, gosh, we've got news anchors. That's all they do on the mornings is tell us about car wrecks before
right.
we leave for work.
Right.
Well, and that I know, should be a wake-up call.
Well, I know, Jack, you know, Jack, you've had cause to use medical gear, what, two or three times in the last, like, 2 months?
Yeah, like, just different accidents that I've come across or, you know, the potential for a bad slip and fall when I'm out hiking and everything. It's just like, why wouldn't I have that with me?
Yeah. But so I guess back to one of the other things that I was asking about, there seems to be, I don't know why this is, but a contingent of people that are like, well, these terrible things are just ways for you to push more, you know, selling more medical gear and more training classes, things like that. And, I mean, you're a friend of mine. I've known you for, what, 3 or 4 years now?
Talked about that.
And I'm friends with a lot of other guys inside of this industry. And I can speak for almost everyone when I say we absolutely hate seeing things like this. And it's not, you know, it's not just like a thing that we take advantage of so we have something to talk about, you know?
Sure, sure. No, the accusations of being the quote unquote ambulance chasers, you know, there hasn't been a lot of it, but it is out there. And recently, with recent events around the world and here in Dallas, you know, it's come about. And I'm like, well, guys, I've been preaching about this and trying to be an advocate for this training and mindset for over 7 years now, you know. It's hard for me even to compute and to try to understand and like, well, where are they coming from this? You know, and I'm all for having a, you know, a good debate with people, but I really got nothing on that. You know, when they say that and they say, oh, well, your company's just trying to make a buck here. And I'm like,
right.
That is one way of looking at it, I suppose. But, will you be thinking about that? You know, I don't want to get too harsh on them. So, well, will you be thinking that when it's you or your family members or your loved ones or your friends,
right,
when you're sitting there in the side of the freeway in the ditch in the rain and they're bleeding out and you didn't take a class, you know? And I know all these instructors, my colleagues, we give discount prices, we give away free slots, you know, it's not like I'm sitting there handing out my business card
right
in front of Dallas PD's, you know, headquarters.
Well, and it's,
you know,
I think what a lot of people don't understand is that one of the great struggles for me in what I do is providing salience for people as far as making them understand why we talk about things and why, you know, we advocate the things that we advocate. And unfortunately, it generally takes a high-profile event for a large portion of people to even understand what the problem is, let alone seek a solution for it, you know?
True. I think Jack had said something earlier and said something about it's the stick their head in the sand type of mentality.
Yeah, yeah. Is that pretty much what you think, Jack?
Yeah, I think most people see a bad incident and don't want to live in a world of strife, and it's like it's easier to blame someone than to go, maybe I should get ready.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something I could be doing.
Well, and yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't really understand that mindset to begin with, because I mean, clearly I don't fall into that anyway. But hey, we hold that thought, Caleb, just because we have to go to break. Right now we're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics, and you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Levent, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Levent, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. So we're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. And I guess we've spent the first little bit of the show talking about mindset and I guess why people should or shouldn't be carrying certain things. Let's switch gears just a little bit and get a little more equipment focused, because I know that that's something that a lot of people are interested in and want to know about. For the average person, let's do this. Let's break it down into like mission profiles. For the average concealed carry individual, what do you think at a minimum they should have on their person on a day-to-day basis?
I know it's going to sound cliche, but I would say the right mindset. Obviously, if they're carrying concealed, they've already started that and initiated that.
Right.
But even for those that don't, I would say definitely mindset. Get your head right. I mean, all of our instructors and mentors, first thing they talk about in day one is get your head right. Second, but as far as the tools and the equipment, look at it more like what are some things that are going to kill me the quickest? Obviously, bleeding out is the first thing. So major hemorrhage control, trying to control major hemorrhaging, moderate to severe bleeding. We need to stop that bleeding first. And so what tools do we have for that? Well, let's look at tourniquets, hemostatic agents. So when I say hemostatic agents, you know, I'm talking about this stuff like a quick clot combat gauze. I'm talking about Celex Rapid, even the RevMedic stuff, you know, that's been new in the market. So you've got stop the bleeding. Those are two really good things. So tourniquets and a package of combat gauze. Okay.
Yep.
And then from there, well, then we got to keep the, you know, we got to worry about holes in our chest. So basically, if we're worried about holes anywhere from, say, I'd say from the chin down to maybe the belly button area, okay, even the belly, if we got holes there, we got to be thinking about sucking chest wounds or open pneumothorax and stuff like that. So chest seals,
right,
which are basically giant, really awesome stickers. So you got,
I like stickers.
Area, so, yeah, who doesn't love stickers?
Jack loves stickers.
Why is there not a Flintstones chest seal on the market right now?
You laugh. I've already had.
I'm not laughing. I want it.
Well, who wouldn't? I mean, think about it. Yeah, I got Flintstones. I got Star Wars or whoever, you know.
Oh, my God. A Darth Vader, like the chest rig that he's got on his suit as a chest seal. Oh, you'd even be making the right sound. I mean,
you beat me to it. You beat me to it. I was just about to say that. Sound like James Earl Jones with this new Sheffield.
Oh,
you
God.
Know?
We're gonna go to hell, and this is why.
We are. We're so going to get in trouble for that. But I would say, yeah, tourniquets, some type of hemostatic agent, and then, you know, your chest seals. Chest seals, you got to be, you know, it comes back to mindset, your training. Are you going to carry ones with vents or without a vent? You know, and you got to know which the pros and cons of both, you know? But at least it's something, you know?
So and we really can't get into a whole lot of detail on the radio. People really should take a class. But as far as like some quick rules of thumb, as far as like diagnosing things, do you feel like, even trying to attempt to touch this one right now, or just what should people be looking for when they roll up on somebody that has an injury?
First off, is it safe for them to render aid? You know, and that's just as bad as basic as I can make is, hey, is the shooting still going on? Okay, well, then we either neutralize the bad guys and then we can render aid, or if the car's traffic's still zooming by us at 90 miles an hour, well, then let's maybe stay in our vehicles until help gets here or something, you know? But then stop the bleeding. That's the first thing. So just your overall general impression. How do they look? Are they holding their arm with blood gushing out of it? Are they laying there limped over the steering wheel or, you know, over the curb or something, you know, in the street? But stop the bleeding first, major bleeding first. So there's where your tourniquets and hemostatic agents come into play. Then we're, you know, move up to, hey, are they breathing, you know? And of course, patient assessment is about a 45-minute lecture and part of the course.
Right.
To say the least, they're very fast, furious.
Condense it into 120 seconds. I mean, you can do it.
Sure. Bleeding. Do you see any major bleeding? I'm talking moderate bleeding. So if they're wearing a pair of Levi's and the blue jean, the denim, is getting saturated in blood, that's pretty significant. Because I know, well, what's a lot of bleeding is very subjective. So if their clothing is saturated in blood, that's a pretty good Blue's Clue that, hey, yeah, that's bad. We need to identify that, you know, and stop that bleeding first. Second was, you know, check their chest. Anywhere there's ribs, for example, anywhere, you know, three-dimensional, the front, sides, and backs, are there any holes in that rib cage? Well, if there are, then we slap the giant stickers on, you know. But if you can keep circulation, airway, and breathing intact, you've got a pretty, you know, viable patient, you know, and we're just trying to keep the brain functioning, and we need the heart and lungs to do so. So stopping the bleeding and then making sure that they're not breathing out of the hole in the side of their ribs.
Right.
That should buy us enough time until the ambulance gets there, you know.
Well, and for people that are unclear about what a lot of bleeding is, it's one of those things. It's kind of like porn. You're not sure what it is, but you know it when you see it. Right. Sort
sure.
Of. No.
No. I get what you're saying because I remember my first big bleeder.
Uh huh.
I remember walking up, going like, "That is all the blood."
Yes.
Like, there's no way there's any more inside that person. This is horrible.
Yeah. It's like, how are you alive still? That's like the milk case at the convenience store. All the milk jugs just exploded and are leaking all over the floor.
I will typically say, from my experience, there will either be not a lot of blood, and you're like, I expected more, or you'll just be like,
oh, dear God. Will,
what? Why is there so? Why is it still coming? Make it stop.
Why does it taste like pennies? So,
oh,
I killed Jack again.
The good news is that, all bleeding stops eventually. I mean, come on.
Oh, man.
You know,
so for people that don't understand, one of the ways that we deal with the really terrible things that we have to deal with is by making inappropriate jokes about it. So we are sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. If you've never dealt with it, you don't understand the humor. But if you've dealt with trauma medicine at all, like, the humor is super dark.
Oh, it's evil. It's evil. We really do. I mean, I'd say it's a cliche to say it's a coping mechanism, but, I use humor, a lot of humor in my class. I'm not a very funny guy at all, but I try to make, you know, hey, we're learning about how to combat death. It's
right.
A little morbid. So let's have a little fun while we're learning about it, you know?
Well, so speaking of humor, Craig Douglas brought you up. The other day.
What was that?
That was a nervous giggle, actually.
That was a very nervous giggle.
So I'm not going to bring up the dinner conversation because I can't. Because, one, I don't...
No.
I could guess what was said, but I don't want to on air. But he did make a really nice compliment, Caleb. He said that you'd make a really hot chick if you just shave your beard off because, like, you've got that rosy blush and you're very young-looking and, you know, I don't know. Do you know what that's about?
No, it's we had dinner. He was down here doing one of his EWO classes in Dallas here, and recently, and so we caught up and we had dinner. And yeah, we're not going to talk about what he said at dinner.
He just said you blush so pretty.
Well, let's just say he was talking about one of his adventures in Thailand to my wife, and my wife was sitting there. And pro tip, guys, never allow your wife to sit between you and Craig Douglas. It will be bad. And you can't control the conversation at all.
No, you can't.
So just...
I
got nothing.
This is also can I tell the prosthetic leg story?
Nope.
I can't?
Nope.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah. Jack says no. So
there were bird beard shots.
That's right. You were there at that, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh God. Anyway, let's.
Caleb,
how
much water should we be drinking?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
How much hydration?
You need to be drinking on it. The serious answer is you need to be drinking half your body weight in ounces. Now measure your body weight in pounds, not kilograms, per 24 hours. So if you weigh, say, 100 pounds, then you need to be drinking 50 ounces of water every day, just water. Not some crazy snake oil elixir or anything, or some electrolyte replenisher, but just regular old water.
So I got to ask, I drink that much, but I'm doing like coffee and Monster. Those both have water in them, right, Caleb?
Well, sodas, if you take water and freeze it and pour a little, you know, say whiskey over it, then sure, you are getting your daily intake of water. That's a rough way to do it. Monster drinks, not just Monster, let me clarify.
Let me interrupt. Hold that thought because we got to go to break. We're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics, and we're having so much fun doing it. And you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target. And what is beyond it? But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300-lumen Sidekick, the 500-lumen X300 Ultra, or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell, "Aziz, light!" ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining a light at a potential threat. Hey, what you doing over there, bro? Or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. Ah, my eyes! When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now, for a limited time, you can get 30% off at the Surefire store off of all of their products except suppressors and batteries by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS. That is ALLTHELUMENS. No space, because then the code won't work. Not that I got emails about that. At Surefire.com. So anyway, Surefire. We are talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. And I know too many Calebs because, like, I'm like, Caleb Causey. That's right. This is a Caleb. About medical stuff and really bad jokes. We're making a lot of really, really bad jokes. So I think the Darth Vader chest seal is the thing that needs to happen. I'm not going to lie.
I think it'd be a top seller.
I think so. So... I interrupted you before the break, and I don't remember what I interrupted because I'm too amused by myself. Hopefully you do, though, and we can get right back into it.
Yeah, you guys were just trying to egg me on about hydration and get my Agent Orange all acting up.
Oh.
You drinking coffee and energy drinks. And.
Well, I mean, I do have delicious, delicious nectar of the gods coffee right here.
I have actually only drank water today.
Really?
Really? Because I knew we were going to be talking to Caleb, so I was like, I'm getting my brownie points in early.
It's kind of like being on Santa's good or naughty list. You don't want to be on Caleb's dehydrated list, because he shows up.
I've actually got a question for you, Caleb. One of the first things I got taught about helping out and like being a first responder with any sort of like traumatic injury situation is always be looking for work. Like, no matter what's happening, there's probably something you can be doing to help out. What are your thoughts on that? Especially considering, like, more than likely, if it's a mass shooter or some sort of large base attack, there's not going to be a ton of EMTs on scene for 20 or 30 minutes, maybe more. Like, there's help that you can be doing.
Sure. You know, it's in medic school in the Army, it wasn't like the attitude that they taught us never give up, never quit, never say die or anything like that. It was more of the attitude of, you know, just like you said, find work. There's always, and the phrase they kept throwing at us was, there's always something you can do, to, to, to improve your patient's condition. Do something. If it's literally rubbing their feet, you know, okay, then rub their feet, you know, and I was put it kind of in context, but if it's, you know, trying to do the most good, the most good for, you know, for a group, then it, that, you know, it's, it can be overwhelming, but there's always something you can do. Find something to do. If you see someone hurt or stumbling, we'll help them up and, you know, help them get to a safer location or whatnot. Or if it's, you know, someone's bleeding, okay, then, you know, direct, you know, start delegating authority, you know, like, hey, you come here, hold their leg here. And hey, you, keep talking to this guy, you know, and, hey, you make a puppet out of your sock to keep the kid from crying, you know, something, man.
Right.
And it's not always trying to be the hero of MacGyvering some kind of chest tube. Okay. No, that's not, doesn't always have to be that way. But yeah, I always try to find work. Just be sure that you're safe when you're doing it. You know, to go back to that whole scene safety thing, it's got to be safe for you to render aid first. So as long as it doesn't interfere with that, you'll be good to go.
Do you think people's natural inclination when they find themselves in that situation where someone is seriously hurt is that if they've not given it any thought beforehand, they tend to freeze? Or is it just depend?
I've asked students over the years, if for those, you know, that have come up to car wrecks or scenes or seen been around people that hurt, it seems to be about 50-50. Either people freeze up and lock up and they don't know what to do, and that's why they're in a class or something, or, you know, right, they're trying to combat that. But for the ones that don't lock up, they really feel guilty. There's a huge, not survivor's remorse, but a huge remorse later on, because they realize that they said, wow, I wanted to help, but I didn't know what to do. But I was sitting there in a panic, and I was fidgeting, or I didn't know what to do. And it was just the shock of, I don't know what to do with this scenario.
Right.
I've planned out a lot of other scenarios, this, you know, getting robbed while I'm paying for gas, or, you know, getting mugged in the street or something. I've played those scenarios out, or, you know, hey, a power outage at the house, but I've never played out somebody getting hurt, and I don't know what to do. And we get a lot of, actually, here recently, we've had a lot of parents and their kids come into classes because they did experience it. I had one guy, his testimony was, yeah, I had a car wreck, and I witnessed the car wreck, pulled over to try to help, but there was three or four people really bad, hurt really bad. But I was in absolute panic. I didn't know what to do, and I want to help. I want to, you know, that overall human nature, yeah, we want to help each other for the most part. There's a few bad apples, but we'll let William April discuss that. But the, yeah, you just, you know, some people do want to help. They just don't know what to do. I don't know if that's a good way to answer it.
Well, it's, I'm just curious because it's always, and this is something that William April put in my head was, you know, pre-need decision making. And I feel like a lot of problems occur when people start trying to come up with solutions on the fly. So I was just curious if your experience had bore that out or not. But for we've got a couple minutes left in this last final segment, and hopefully we're out of terrible jokes that we can make because there's already been too much silliness in this show. Is there any final thoughts or things that you would like to have people consider, or, you know, what do you think people should be doing if they're interested in their personal safety or the safety of those around them from a medical standpoint?
I beg them to get some type of training, some type of medical training. And I don't care if it's with Lone Star Medics, my own company, one of our classes, or with somebody else, quote unquote, my competitors. They're really my colleagues.
Right.
There's so many of us at this level, and I don't mean that to put a feather in my cap and to be egotistical, at our level that do this, and there's, you know, a handful, and they're scattered across the U.S., and make it a priority, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, hey, as much as I keep wanting to argue it, and the good karma comes around, man, and who's to say that it's not one of my family members that has a car wreck, and it's somebody else that took a class that can run up there and help save their life, or just help them, comfort them, you know, make a sock puppet or something,
right,
to keep the kid quiet or something. You know, who's to say it's not going to be one of my family members in the future? But it helps the EMTs and the paramedics out. It helps the doctors and the surgeons out. Just the whole chain of survival starts with whoever applies the first bandage, you know?
Right. I'm trying to think what we haven't covered that we probably should cover. I don't know. Jack, is there any last words of wisdom we should eke out of Caleb?
Well, his upcoming classes we should probably talk about.
Yeah.
Because one of them I'm really interested in, so.
Yeah, what do you have upcoming? You've got a partner tactics class, or?
Yeah, we've got two classes coming up that are, we partnered up, one with Aaron Israel of Fundamental Defense, and it's going to be in September, Labor Day weekend. We're taking a risk there, having a class on Labor Day weekend, but again, make it a priority. And the idea is a two-day class where you're learning defensive focus shooting. So, you know, a little bit more than the intro level basic shooting class, but to defend yourself, defensive firearms training. And then day two is where we talk about tactical medicine from an everyday carry standpoint. And then we run you through a few scenarios there to apply what you've just learned. And you can check out more at fundamentaldefense.com there for this other one that Jack and I were talking about with Tier Group. We linked up with John Hurth over at Tier Group earlier this year. And the idea is a two-day class, and he's going to be teaching, you know, military terminology here, small unit tactics, but stuff that, you know, us veterans take for granted that everybody understands when we say do a 3 to 5 second rush or a forward bounding, you know, movement or run from cover to cover, you know, just how to operate in 2, 4, 6, 10-man teams, 10-person teams. But how's that conveyed to civilians, you know, and put it in almost a civilian context? Granted, we're going to be out in the woods, but it's going to be October 8th and 9th. And the idea is how do we as a team, as a group of two or more individuals, move safely from one area to the other, even if we're running away from danger,
right?
You know, during a mass killing. Okay, well, we got to exit the area. Well, let's not all run into the fatal funnel of the one doorway. Let's put some cover and concealment between us. Yeah.
Right. Cool.
So those are the two big things we've got coming up.
Perfect. And your web address is?
OneStarMedics.com.
Perfect. Caleb, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk to us. It's always a pleasure, dude. We're at the end of the show. But thank you again, brother, and be safe, all right?
Thank you all.
All right. Talk to you later, man. So, thanks for listening, guys. Make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe and see you next week.